You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
3, 2, and 1. I am Greeny. Delighted you are here.
We don't have room for losers on Get Up.
Well, isn't that interesting? Holy fudge, dude. Throwing it out there.
It's hard to eat when you're full.
I do like that. You can't eat when you're full. I'm going to definitely steal that.
We got, I think I'm going to say, a whole lot of handsome with us this morning.
All right.
I look nothing the way I do on TV and in person, right?
Absolutely not.
If we could just sum it all up, I'm right and the rest of you are wrong.
Hello.
Can we get Tim Hasselbeck some sunscreen down there in Nashville?
It might be my lighting.
Are you sitting in front of a red light?
Oh, here we go.
Great. There's not a whole lot of protection up top, okay?
Let's get the man a ball cap and some copper tone and all will be well.
None of those moves are really going to win them a Super Bowl.
Something about that that makes me laugh.
Unless Cam Newton turns back into a quarterback that he used to be.
Making me laugh all morning long. We hope we make you laugh a little bit along the way. Thank you so much for getting up with us. This week and every week, we come to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We're brought to you by Chase, and we are busy on this Friday. Here we go. It is time to get up in Philly, where the Eagles seem to have found their answer. But that doesn't mean there aren't still major questions. We will take you there. Plus, there is one question that remains. Before Russell Wilson can be traded, we have come up with the answer. You won't want to miss it. That's how our hour will begin. And we're going live to a pro day that could reshape the draft and three different teams in the NFL. That's on the way as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now. With Russell Wilson, as the offseason rolls on, Wilson remains at the epicenter of the NFL rumor mill. Insider Jeff Darlington was on my radio show yesterday and put into neat perspective why a trade remains very much a possibility.
Like, have we seen the kumbaya come out of Seattle yet? I personally have not. I have not heard, whether privately in my conversations or publicly, felt any sense of conclusiveness that both sides are suddenly happy and they're ready to roll this thing forward in 2021. But if it deteriorates any more than it has to this point, to me, I just think the price comes down. I think that divorce, whether this offseason or next, becomes imminent.
Well, I think that is the way a lot of people feel, and we are delighted to have Mark Sanchez join this conversation this morning with Tannenbaum and Graziano. Thanks for getting up early out there, Mark. And before we get into this, the solution to this problem that we have come up with here this morning, let me just get your perspective on this. Russell Wilson, the conversation about a player of his caliber being traded, as a quarterback yourself, what is your reaction?
Listen, I still can't believe we're talking about it. I get it. It keeps coming up in the media. But this was just an interview with Dan Patrick that went wrong. I think if Russell could rewind right now and realize maybe that the grass isn't always greener, I think he would have said those things a little bit differently. That's just my personal take. Although I thought we were going to have a 30 for 30 in a couple years about a deal that went down in Fargo, North Dakota, about Trey Lance's pro day, but really the trade between the Bears and the Seahawks. I thought it was going to be, what if I told you in Fargo, North Dakota, all this went down. That's what I really thought was going to happen. Those were the talks coming out of Trey Lance's pro day. And here we are with a bunch more speculation. So I still think he goes to the Bears at some point, and the Seahawks are just waiting and waiting and waiting until they just give him the farm, and they might just do it.
Okay, so that is exactly how we can dive into this. You still believe that he will wind up in Chicago. So do we, and we have figured out the way for it to work out. Dan Graziano, you've been making this point all along as our insider on this program. What is it the Seahawks need in order to be ready to pull the trigger on a trade?
A quarterback, Greeny. I mean, they need to know who would be their quarterback if they trade away Russell Wilson, who's been one of the great quarterbacks in the entire league since they drafted him in the third round. If Seattle had a viable solution, a solution that got them excited at the quarterback position as a fallback, I believe this trade would become a lot more likely.
Okay, and so there you have it. You have the Bears who want Russell Wilson. You have the Seahawks who need an answer at quarterback. Many people will look at that situation and ask how. We will look at that situation and say, we'll tell you how. Mike Tannenbaum, how does that deal get done?
Yeah, Dan makes a great point. We're going to give Seattle optionality here where maybe it's Sam Darnold, but we're going to give him two additional picks. So basically what's going to happen is Russell Wilson is going to go from Seattle to Chicago. Chicago is happy. Sam Darnold is going to go from the Jets to Seattle. So short term, Sam Darnold's the quarterback of Seattle. In addition, the Jets will get a second round pick next year for Sam Darnold, and they'll have Zach Wilson. But Seattle will get two first round picks and Roquan Smith. So they're going to come out of this with Sam Darnold, Roquan Smith, and two ones. And what's great about that from a Seattle perspective, Greeny, is if Sam Darnold looks like he's the guy, they exercise the option, they have cost control for at least 2 years. And if he's not, they still have two first-round picks. So they can rebuild on the fly and move on from Russell Wilson. Chicago obviously hits the jackpot with Russell Wilson. And now if you're the Jets, you have Zach Wilson and an extra two.
And Mike Tannenbaum knows of what he speaks. This is a man who once did engineer a three-way trade in the NFL that wound up bringing Nick Mangold to the Jets. So, I mean, this is it doesn't happen often, but it is not impossible. So, Mark Sanchez, I come back to, yeah, go ahead. You're raising your hand. Go.
Yeah. I think this is great. We got to remember, Coach Carroll is a defensive guy, and the most successful they've been is when Russ was much younger, before this whole let Russ cook talk and all that. When he won his first Super Bowl, it was a defensive team. Sam Darnold is trying to resurrect his career and position himself to be one of the top quarterbacks like I really think he can be. That is the perfect scenario for Sam. Everybody wins, right? Everybody gets what they want. They just got to move on from all the BS back and forth in the media. Let us stop talking about it and go make it happen. But really, it's on Ryan Pace and the Bears. He's got to make that happen and push Seattle to make a move.
Okay, let me, before we dive into how it happens, let's talk about what it is. Many people will look at this and they will say, Mark, and we know how close you are to Darnold. You're an SC quarterback. He's an SC quarterback. Pete Carroll is the coach. That's who you played for at USC. So there's so many threads of connection that you have to this situation. Some will look at it and say they are, in on some level, moving on from Russell Wilson and bringing in Sam Darnold. And some will say, boy, that seems at minimum like a very risky move. Tell them why you think Darnold is ready for that.
Well, I think Coach Carroll's ready for that, to be honest. I think Coach Carroll loves that because then he's back to where he was a couple years ago when he took the job in Seattle. They didn't have a quarterback that was, you know, top five, top 10 in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It was somebody who could manage the game, somebody like Sam who has plenty of playmaking ability, but they didn't have to rely on it every single drive multiple times. They didn't have to wait for Russell Wilson to run around and play street ball and make these flashy plays. He was on schedule. They made a couple flashy plays. It was beast mode. It was run. It was defense. That's what Coach Carroll wants. That's who he is at his very core. Less mistakes, you know, less issues on offense. Let me handle it on defense, special teams, and we'll keep the offense under control. We'll grind out games, and we'll just outlast you. We'll be smarter than you. So I think it's perfect.
There's a great deal of legitimacy to what you're saying. That was a team that won championships with the Legion of Boom. They won one, and they were 1 yard away from the other, and the biggest mistake they made was throwing the football in that situation instead of running it when you look back on it. So all of that comes together. Graziano, you're always the cynic on this program. I'm looking right at you. What we've Tannenbaum and I have figured out this problem, and I'm waiting for you to pour cold water on it. Go.
I got a lot of issues. Right? I mean, Sanchez needs to go easy on the media stuff. He's in now. Are you in or are you out? Like, you're breaking stories on Twitter. I see it. So give me your media. Like, you can't just be throwing that around like you did when you were a player. We need some consistency. But in terms of this trade, look, we know Seattle doesn't like the Bears' picks, right? The Bears tried to use those picks to get Russell Wilson directly from them, and then they're not interested. The 20th pick doesn't really help you get a quarterback this year. And if you're Seattle looking ahead to next year's Bears pick, you're thinking they're going to have Russell Wilson on their team. That's not going to be a high pick either. So I think Seattle's in a situation where right now they have three picks in this year's draft. That's it. And the first one is pick, I think, 56. So they need significant improvement in their 2021 draft capital if they're going to address the quarterback issue in the draft this year. Otherwise, it's Darnold, and maybe we look at next year's draft, which at this point people aren't as excited about from a quarterback standpoint.
So what part of that did you not think was pouring cold water on our idea, Dan? I mean, I'm not exactly sure how you think you weren't ruining our fun here. So Tannenbaum, though, he brings up a good point.
You guys invited me on.
He brings up a good point.
I don't know what you wanted.
The Bears don't have the picks that can turn into young quarterbacks. Two teams that do are the Jets and the Dolphins. They are sitting up there at the top, and each of them also has a young quarterback on their roster who was highly drafted and of some promise. At some point, while Russell, his agent, gave four teams to Adam Schefter, at some point, do you believe we see the Jets and or the Dolphins getting involved in these conversations?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to expand sort of your optionality here, because if it doesn't work out with Chicago for whatever reason, the window is closing. Obviously, the other place could be San Francisco, but they're in the division, so they're out. So, Greeny, I think you're bringing a really good point, which is you got to expand the pie at some point, and Miami and the Jets certainly check those boxes. But I will say this. If you're Seattle, this is an interesting trade if you could come out with Darnold and two ones, because it gives you optionality. Sam Darnold may be your quarterback, and at some point, you're going to need somebody to take over for Russell Wilson. And right now, you don't have a first-round pick for the next 2 years. So while you do have Russell Wilson, you're not really operating from a position of strength in terms of what the future looks like.
And then finally, Sanchez, I come back to you. You played for Pete Carroll. I think the world views Pete Carroll as this incredibly amiable guy, and that it's hard for us to picture that the issue here is the relationship between Pete and Russell. Just from where you sit, knowing whatever it is you know of it, what is your sense of why that relationship has gotten to a place where it appears Russell Wilson may very well get traded away from Seattle?
Well, the telling thing to me is if this was not going to happen 100%, Pete would have said it already. Mm-hmm. They would have said it already. Snyder would have said it already. It would have been, hey, we're standing on the table for our guy. Some things got misconstrued. Some things got strung out along the way. And granted, we haven't heard Coach Carroll speak publicly in a while. So maybe that conversation's happening behind closed doors. But I don't know, because a lot of this stuff leaks out. People, like Dan said, were breaking news on Twitter. Hey, Dan, come on, man. It's a contract year, man. The more you can do, you know? But still, I haven't seen him stand on the table, say, listen, Russ is our guy. Enough with all this. You know, put this fire out. So until I hear that, it's a possibility.
And I will tell you, when this trade gets made, just the way we broke it down, you just remember where you saw it first. All right, we will take a short break. As we continue, another quarterback situation. Jalen Hurts has to soar if the Eagles are to be any good next year. Why one recent addition might be just what he needs. Sneaky big news. Plus, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys offense not only should score a lot this season, they may need to. We'll explain as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and Jalen Hurts is the only quarterback on the Eagles roster no longer, as the team signed Joe Flacco to a free agent contract. And yesterday, Flacco was asked about his role in Philly. He offered these thoughts.
My job is to prove to these guys that, I deserve some respect and I can play this game at a high level. Every quarterback room, guys help each other. That's what we're here for. That's what the whole team does. I'm going to do my part, and we're going to win a lot of football games. And part of that is getting in the QB room, grinding, and helping each other out.
All right, we bring it back out here. Mark, what is your – I think that was in response to some people's perception that over the course of his career, Flacco has really not taken to the idea of being a mentor to a young quarterback. What is your thought?
I know Joe pretty well. We spoke briefly. But listen, you got to understand, in these situations, quarterbacks are a different breed, right? They're ultra competitive. There's only one guy who gets to play, and everybody wants to be one. That's just the way it works. That's the way of the world. Joe Flacco got a ton of heat in Denver when he said, hey, I'm not here to help anybody. I'm not here to mentor anybody. And really what he's saying is, like, I'm going to go compete my ass off until somebody tells me I'm not the starter. And that's exactly what I'd want if I was management. And if Joe was going to say anything else yesterday, that means the team would have already told him, hey, you're our number two. Jalen's our guy. Don't even think about it. Are you comfortable with that? Because I've been in that exact situation in front of a couple different general managers who said, hey, Mitch Trubisky's our guy. Are you comfortable being his backup and supporting him? Dak Prescott's our guy. Are you comfortable being his backup and supporting him? So unless they said that, which I don't think they have, based on Joe's comments yesterday, then Joe's going to go compete his ass off. And if he doesn't get the job, he said it right there. He's going to be professional. And I think they're getting a huge asset for their team, a great football player with a ton of experience, with something left to prove. It can only be good for everybody in that organization, including Jalen Hurts.
He's got Super Bowl experience, and the reality is, terrible as the Jets were last year, he didn't look bad. When he played, he actually acquitted himself pretty well on the field in that offense. Mike Tannenbaum, what is your sense of that? Now that you have Jalen Hurts, the young player that they're still so inexperienced, now you bring in Flacco, how do you see it?
Yeah, well, I would say that Joe Flacco may be the best quarterback there. We don't know in Jalen Hurts. He's only thrown 148 passes. And if Dan Orlovsky is watching, I know he's going to struggle with this. This doesn't even rule out them taking a quarterback at six, because if they love a quarterback at six, Trey Lance or Justin Fields, you don't know what you have in Hurts. Joe Flacco is a short-term solution at best, so they still have a lot of optionality. And I think context is really important, because when Mark was a rookie, we had Mark Brunell, who was his backup, who was great, and he knew he was at a point in his career where he wasn't going to play anymore as a starter. Joe Flacco, based on what he was saying yesterday, he's not necessarily there yet. So if Joe Flacco was the starter in September, or pick six was a starter in September, none of that would be a surprise. And if you're Philadelphia, that's what you want. Let the best player play.
Pick six is an interesting way to put that when we're talking about quarterbacks, by the way. I know what you meant, but those are not words that quarterbacks generally like to hear. Graziano, what are your thoughts on that? I think the school of thought here, the conventional wisdom, is the Eagles have decided they're going with Jalen Hurts, and everything here doesn't sound like that. What is your sense of it?
The Eagles fundamentally are a team that believes in giving themselves all kinds of possibilities to succeed at the quarterback position. So they were always going to bring in a veteran, no matter what's going on with Jalen Hurts. And that, yes, as we've said multiple times on this show, if they find the quarterback of their long-term dreams at six, it would not shock anyone to see them take him. They have to have options at the position. At this point, I don't expect them to do that at six. I would expect them to go to camp with Jalen Hurts as the starter, but they don't know for sure. And in Flacco, you have a guy that you know can play. I think when teams look for backup quarterbacks, one of the things they're looking for is a guy that if something goes wrong and he has to play, the stage won't be too big for him. Flacco's played in enough games that you can certainly say that about him, if nothing else.
He was a Super Bowl MVP at one point in his career, so that's clearly true. And yeah, you got, Mark, you have a final thought? Go.
Greeny, can you imagine if they take two North Dakota State quarterbacks in a row? I don't know if the city is down for that. That'd be tough on Trey Lance, man. I don't know if I'd wish that on him.
That might be tough sell.
That would be something. And of the four at the top, that would be the likeliest, I think, to slide to them. So
I know.
That definitely is worth watching. It's a good point. Meanwhile, let's talk about their arch rival. Let's talk about the Cowboys, who are coming off a disappointing first season under head coach Mike McCarthy. But looking ahead, there is all kinds of hope after they signed Dak Prescott finally to that long-term deal. Yesterday, the coach spoke about his expectations. Here's what he said.
I was actually I was in Florida when the deal was finally completed. It's a lot easier to do cartwheels on the sand, I'd say that. I'm excited about year two of the offense, because, you know, frankly, in a lot of ways we feel like we didn't really get to have year one. So we're excited about what we can do this year with a healthy offense.
Now, the defense was actually their biggest problem last year, but there's a lot to unpack there. Mark Sanchez, what do you expect that offense to be this season with Dak now finally having gotten paid and a second season in Mike McCarthy's offense?
Well, I'm going to give you the opposite perspective a little bit, Greeny, because with Dan Quinn now, this is a defense, the Pete Carroll defensive tree that was so revolutionary a couple years ago. They're going to cut your playbook in half. They're going to play single high coverage. It's going to look the same, cover three deep zone and man to man. And they're going to play a bend, don't break defense, but they're going to major in getting turnovers. That's what they preach. Interceptions and punching the ball out, causing fumbles, causing chaos on offense. That's going to give Dak more opportunities. He's only going to be more comfortable. And he feels like he's got a lot to prove. He's got a big deal. He's ready to go play and prove to people that he's back, he's healthy. This is going to be huge for him, and they just need to be together. The more time on task is only going to help Dak Prescott, so I'm glad they didn't make an abrupt change or a knee-jerk reaction in trying to change head coaches or coordinators or anything like that. This is good for Dak Prescott.
It's a fascinating point that you bring up, that how the defense plays, and they were so bad last year, creates a different level of pressure on the quarterback, and you are saying, Mark, you think they're going to be that much better. Quickly.
I do. I really do. That's really what Dan Quinn's all about. Just like Coach Carroll, it's a bend, don't break scheme. We're okay with letting you go from the minus 20 to the plus 20, but we are going to get that football. We don't want to stop you on three and out. We want to cause a turnover. We want sudden change, and that's going to help Dak, because as soon as you get him the ball, we all know what he can do.
Mike T, in your experience, can a coordinator, I'll say it again, if Dan Quinn can turn that defense around, they gave up 160 yards a game on the ground last year, then whatever they paid him, it's not nearly enough. What is your sense of how much difference he can make on that defense, Mike?
Totally agree with Mark. It's going to be a new culture, and it's going to be a new mindset, and they're going to run to the ball, create turnovers, and Greeny, those things become contagious. Once they get one, it kind of builds on itself. And when you look at Dan Quinn's track record from working with Nick Saban, Pete Carroll, the success he's had, taking a team to the Super Bowl, if they get to the middle of the pack, Greeny, that's going to be a massive improvement with that offense. They could certainly be in contention in the NFC East based on Coach Quinn's track record.
And Dan, how would you describe the pressure that is on the coach there then? You got McCarthy in his second season. He's there to win a champ. They don't make any secret of the fact they think they're a championship team. By they, I mean the Joneses. How much pressure do you think there is on Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, I think probably not as much as people sort of wish there was. Changing coaches after 2 years is something Jerry Jones has only done once, and it was Chan Gailey, and he has said multiple times publicly that he regretted doing that. So they want to give a guy more than 2 years. Well, if they go 6-10 again, do they change that perspective? Possibly, but I think they want to give Mike McCarthy some time to make sure that he gets a fair shot at it.
As they tend to be, the Cowboys figure to be, one of the most interesting teams in the NFL going forward. Meanwhile, coming up next, many have compared BYU's quarterback Zach Wilson to Patrick Mahomes. Mark Sanchez has another legend in mind. You'll hear who that is on a big day. It's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up, and it is time for the Masked Slinger. That is Mark Sanchez, who's going to give us some NFL comparisons for these quarterback draft prospects. Mark, start with Trey Lance. Who does he remind you of?
Oh, he reminds me of a guy that came out my year, Josh Freeman. Big body, big frame, solid arm. The only thing working against this kid right now is the lack of production this last season, because they didn't have a season, and that's not his fault. But when you're drafting somebody, you know, as your first overall pick, you want to see a little more tape. I think he benefits from going somewhere and waiting behind an established starter and then establishing his own career later on, maybe even a Mariota comparison too.
All right, let's go to the next one. Mac Jones, who's he remind you of?
I see Matt Ryan, and I spoke to Steve Sarkisian yesterday. He's coached both of these guys, knows these guys intimately. I mean, he knows everything about their drop, their progressions, how their mind works, how they see the game. And he said, everybody's killing Mac Jones right now, but I think he just ran a faster time than Josh than Josh Allen from the Buffalo Bills, who makes plenty of plays with his feet, and nobody complains about Matt Ryan. If he wins that Super Bowl, he's in the elite of elite.
It's an interesting one. How about Zach Wilson, whose pro day is today? Who's he remind you of?
I know everybody says Patrick Mahomes, Greeny, but I still see a little bit of Brett Favre. This guy's a gunslinger. He has fun. He's smiling on the field. You can tell he loves football. And the other thing, he thrives in chaos. He's one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen throw off platform. That's falling away. That's moving to his left, moving away from his throwing hand. He is incredible, and his film is so fun to watch. He's exciting.
Well, we're going to get to see a lot of that today. It's his pro day. So we hear Patrick Mahomes, and we hear Aaron Rodgers, and you just heard Brett Favre. Those are just some of the names that are associated with the BYU quarterback, Zach Wilson, who is right now, I think, a consensus number two pick in almost every NFL mock draft. On Zach Wilson's pro day today, NFL fans need to be paying very close attention.
Wilson in the pocket, zips that one there to the pylon, and it's caught for a touchdown. My goodness.
Admit it, a year ago, you didn't have any idea who Zach Wilson was. The BYU quarterback had to win a competition just to start in Provo. 1 year later, he's being compared to some of the biggest names in the sport.
He just runs to his left and throws it 60 yards down the field like Patrick Mahomes.
And what a year it's been. Wilson set the Cougars' single season record for completion percentage at 73.5%, breaking the record held by Hall of Famer Steve Young. Wilson completed 33 of 53 passes that he threw 20 or more yards downfield. That's the highest completion percentage since ESPN began tracking air yards. In other words, he hits for a high average and has home run power. And it's not just his arm. Last season, he was the only FBS player to throw 30 touchdowns and run for 10 more.
This guy is a playmaking extraordinaire. He is extremely athletic.
Despite the obvious talent, there are questions about the competition he faced. Mel Kiper Jr. said BYU in 2020 faced a cupcake schedule. The same concerns, of course, were raised about Josh Allen at Wyoming, who turned out to be the seventh pick in 2018 and is a rising superstar today. The Zach Wilson hype train is rolling. Where will it stop on draft night is the question. All right, here are some of the answers along with Sanchez's Matt Miller, who is our draft insider and is at Zach Wilson's pro day today. And so here's the conversation here, Matt. A lot of this week has been about the value of these pro days. We have the film. We have all. What is it that people want to see today, Matt? What should fans be asking themselves they want to see from Zach Wilson's pro day today?
Yeah, Greeny, it's not about the 40-yard dash or how many bench press reps we see today. It's more about getting evaluators around Zach Wilson, a player who, during the 2020 season, most general managers and scouts actually couldn't come to Provo or go to Coastal Carolina to watch Zach Wilson play. So for myself and for a lot of other people, this will be our first opportunity to see him throw in the 2020-2021 process. So that is a huge part of it. Also, just getting around Zach Wilson, seeing what he's like with his teammates, with the coachability. You have a kid coming from a smaller area in Provo, Utah. The New York Jets will be here today. There'll be a huge contingent of Jets personnel here. Can he handle the bright lights of Manhattan, where a lot of quarterbacks have struggled coming out of college? So I think that's another question today, is getting to know the personality a little bit, getting to know the person, not being able to have those sit-down interviews throughout the course of the season. Today's a big night, not just to see the arm talent, not just see the athleticism, but to get to know Zach Wilson a little bit as a person before you invest in number two or number three overall pick in him.
That's a very interesting thought. And again, Mark Sanchez, you know what he's talking about. You came to New York as the Sanchez and you were the starter immediately, but you came from USC, this huge high-profile program, and here's this kid coming out of Utah. So that's an interesting question. The other is the film. A lot of people haven't seen it. Mark, what are you seeing on film from Zach Wilson?
Everything I need to know about Zach Wilson, he tells me in this very first clip, Greeny. I mean, this is exactly how he introduced himself in Myrtle Beach. He took the band down there. He didn't have his best outing, but look at this kid. I'm channeling my inner John Madden. Boom! Right in the chest, he just nails this kid. Listen, the first thing I'm doing day one of off-season workouts is reminding him he can't do that at the next level, but I love it. Here's what else I love. He's under center, turning his back to the defense. He does this more than people realize. This is going to make him NFL ready. This is waggle five footwork. And look at him throwing off platform upstairs to a tight end where only he can get it. This is elite arm talent and reach. Look at this, Greeny. Quick little play action.
Here's him scanning the entire field. This is what the scouts want to see. I'm going through number one. I'm going through my second progression. I got to move in the pocket. I got to manipulate a defender with my eyes. And here I am ripping an in route, backside, in stride, and ready to do it over again. You see him looking to the sideline for the next play. This kid's a baller, Greeny. You just have to be ready because he can thrive in chaos. I said that. The coordinator who picks him has to be comfortable with that. A lot of off-platform throws and a lot of, oh God, where is this ball going? Knowing it should go in the right place. But they got to work through some of that. He's going to be a little different than your conventional pocket passer.
What are the question marks, Matt? What are the question marks that people will need to feel comfortable with in order for him to be what I think most expect him to be, which is the second pick in this draft?
Yeah, I would say right now he is close to locked in as you can be this far out from the process, Greeny. But the questions are, he's a little bit of a smaller prospect. He's listed at 6'3", 205 pounds. We'll find out today how accurate those measurements are. Then the other question would be a player who has been injured twice, a broken hand, surgery on his throwing shoulder in the past, and who came into the 2020 season in a quarterback competition here at BYU. So I think that is the other key. Is this a player who finally figured it out, like a Joe Burrow? The situation was perfect and he ascended as a talent, or is this a one-year wonder type situation? I think that's the hard thing for Joe Douglas and other GMs to figure out right now about Zach Wilson is this a flash in the pan or a player who's just starting his ascension to greatness?
I have a moment to ask you just about one other quarterback here. And Ali, our producer, I'm not going to play the soundbite because I have limited time. But you two were arguing about it, or at least talking about it during our commercial break. And so I want to bring that to the conversation here. Mac Jones is another one. And earlier this week, Tim Hasselbeck was on this show saying if you don't have the added level of mobility, if you don't have that second playability that most of the young quarterbacks do, that he would question taking a player as high as Mac Jones figures to go. Mark Sanchez, I got a sense from your comments, you don't see it that way at all. You do not have that concern for Mac Jones.
No, I understand this from a scheme perspective. You want an extra guy in the run game that they can't account for on defense. And that's what the zone read allows you to do. Mac Jones is not a zone read quarterback, but neither is Matt Ryan. And like I said, if Matt Ryan would have won that Super Bowl a couple years ago, like he really should have, he's in the elite conversation. Nobody complains about his athleticism. Mac Jones is a great tennis player growing up. I mean, this kid can move around enough in the pocket. Now, he's not Lamar Jackson, he's not Josh Allen, but he did run a faster 40 time than Josh Allen. So I think this has gotten blown out of proportion. He's more athletic than we think and plenty athletic to play at the next level.
And Matt, here's the point. As I have looked at this, it seems to me that if he had a slightly a higher level of athleticism, he'd be in the discussion for the first pick in this draft, right? And so that really is going to be what determines where he winds up.
Yeah, Greeny, I think we have to go back, though. It's 17 starts in college, the same number as Trey Lance. So I think that sample size is small enough that there would still be some doubt when compared to Trevor Lawrence, a three-year starter, Zach Wilson, a three-year starter, Justin Fields, a two-year starter, who also played in his true freshman year at Georgia. So those are the concerns to me. As Sanchez said, though, you look at Matt Ryan. Okay, well, who was his offensive coordinator then? It was Kyle Shanahan. So I do think Mac Jones can work in some systems. San Francisco would be one of them where you have the supporting cast around you. You're going to be asked to play action football from within the pocket. But if he goes to a team without that supporting cast, if the Carolina Panthers select him at 8 overall, then I think you have the concerns of, is he athletic enough to survive behind a bad offensive line? Is he athletic enough to extend the play? So I do think scheme fit will be huge for Mac Jones' success at the next level.
Mel Kiper projects him right now to go 15 to the Patriots, right in the middle of the first round of the NFL draft. Matt, we'll look forward to your coverage today. Again, Zach Wilson's pro day is today. Meanwhile, tomorrow, what a card we have for UFC 260 in Vegas. Stipe Miocic defending his title against Francis Ngannou for the second time. Heavyweight main event, 10 Eastern. To order the main card in English and Spanish on pay-per-view, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. The prelims start at 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. Coming up, Ben is back. But does his team face uncertain times? Why the Steeler future is fuzzy at best? We have that, and we have this. Sneaky Hembo going at it with Graziano. Here's the question. Which NFL franchise has the record for most consecutive non-losing seasons? That's the question. The answer's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
There was so much chatter about this question during the break that Mark Sanchez is going to get in on it as well. Again, for those of you just joining us, Sneaky Hembo, which NFL franchise has the record for most consecutive non-losing seasons? Sanchez, I will start with you because I know you've been agonizing over this.
This is Graziano's deal. I hate this. Steelers. Let's go Steelers.
He's going Steelers. Dan Graziano, what do you think?
I'm pretty sure it's the Dallas Cowboys because I think Tom Landry had 22 or 21. I'm not entirely sure. But I also, before we hear the answer, I want it known that I got Moses Malone in the last hour. I just want to make sure everybody knows that. I had that one too.
Well, you got that.
I'm going Cowboys here.
You got that and you got this. This is very predictable.
Wow.
Graziano
yes.
got it right and Sanchez
Good.
Got it wrong.
Good, Graz.
If you had asked me, 21, how 21. Do you think this Fine. Is going to go? I would have said Sanchez is going to get it wrong and Graziano is going to get it right. And so there is the
Thanks
scoreboard
a lot,
right
Grady.
Now. Graziano, it's a one-score game. Graziano was up on Hembo, 17-12. It was sneaky because
Everybody
we're talking about the Steelers next. He knew that. Let's talk about Pittsburgh, the franchise. What an offseason it's been. They restructure quarterback Ben Roethlisberger's contract to save cap space. They bring him back, and they don't do a whole lot else. And earlier today, we had Steelers reporter Brooke Pryor on with us, and she said this.
When we talked to Art Rooney II back in January, he said, we're trying to build a championship team this offseason, but their moves kind of suggest otherwise at this point, at least through free agency. This is a team that now has some significant holes to fill in the draft, and instead they spent the little cap space that they had on Juju Smith-Schuster to kind of keep the band together while letting some of the backup singers exit. They're headed toward an identity crisis.
Identity crisis is an interesting and I think apt choice of words for a team that's kind of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Mark Sanchez, what do you think? That the decision to bring back Roethlisberger, bring back Juju, try and make a run at it when most of the world thinks that they are falling. What do you think of the way they handled this offseason so far?
Well, I was a little surprised that they brought back Ben a little bit, but it sounded like he wanted to be there. He was willing to restructure his contract. But the real shocker to me was the Juju Smith-Schuster deal. I just thought Juju had so much more in the market, right? Like he had so much more demand for somebody like him. And then he goes back for real cheap. And I think it's just a one-year, $8 million deal. Mm-hmm. That really surprised me. So I don't know how happy everybody is there. It's kind of like a reluctant return. And I don't know if that bodes well, especially in a division where the identity really is changing, right? That everything's getting flipped on its head over there. The Ravens can now win playoff games and the Browns aren't scared of the Steelers anymore. So it's a lot like Buffalo when they've kind of, you know, jumped over the Patriots in the AFC East. You got to win that first game. It's got to mean something. They bounced them out of the playoffs last year. They got a lot more confidence in Cleveland. This could be a very tough division for the Steelers.
I'm with you. And look, even in Cincinnati, they have their quarterback of the future, assuming that Burrow can come back from the injury. And so Mike Tannenbaum, who was extremely unpopular in Pittsburgh, because you were right last offseason saying that, that they were going to fall, and here you are saying you think they could be in the running for a very high draft pick next year. The question is, if you're running that organization, how are you approaching the succession plan with Ben? He's not going to be there that much longer. They don't have a high draft pick. How are you getting your next quarterback?
I'm scouring to get one this year because there's only one quarterback right now next year that has a first-round pick. So I'm taking this year's one, Greeny, and next year's one, and I'm moving up, and I'm going to try to get Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, whoever I can get, because if I don't get him this year, it could be a long time coming. And to Mark's point, there's a gap this year. If we spin this story forward, Greeny, it's going to look a lot worse next year when those three young quarterbacks continue to get better. So they're stopping progress. They paid Ben out of loyalty, which I respect. But when you, it's really for past performance. And when you sprinkle in no left tackle, center, or who the starting running back is going to be, I just think the gap's getting bigger. And getting a quarterback is job number one right now for them.
Well, Graziano, the choice of words Brooke used was interesting, identity crisis, because some of the moves seem like win-now moves, and some of the moves seem like we're starting to, you know, rebuild a little bit here. Where are the Pittsburgh Steelers right now?
And that's what we were talking about, Greeny, when we were going over the possibilities with Ben Roethlisberger before he made the adjustment to his contract. Even if they bring him back, are they going to be able to put a representative team on the field? And the Steelers, to my knowledge, are struggling with how difficult the cap situation has turned out to be. There were players that they thought they were going to be able to retain that they couldn't. And so they have some issues. On paper, they're going to look like a very rough team. Mike Tomlin is their coach. He's never had a losing season, a modern-day Tom Landry, if you will. And if he weren't their coach, I think the expectations would be even lower. But right now, it's going to be a lot of pressure on him, on Ben Roethlisberger, and on their draft class to produce at a high level if the Steelers are going to remain competitive.
It's been a very long time since we've seen them not be. We'll break on that brief thought. We'll remind you that we can tip off your weekend with our NBA Friday doubleheader. That's tonight with Jason Tatum and the Celtics taking on Giannis and the Bucks at 7:30 Eastern. It's followed by Trae Young and the Hawks squaring off against Golden State. Coverage starts with NBA Countdown, 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Coming up next, Russell Wilson may want out of Seattle. The Jets may want to move on from Sam Darnold. We have a deal that might help both with a twist. We'll explain next. Don't miss it. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's our NCAA Women's Championship Sweet 16 matchups for tomorrow. First game, battle of superstar freshman Caitlin Clark leading Iowa against Paige Beckers and UConn at 1 Eastern on ABC. Then it's Michigan-Baylor later on ESPN2, Indiana-NC State. It's Arizona-Texas A&M. All the games are also available on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, coming up on First Take, top of the hour, so just about 5.5 minutes away. Should any of the trades yesterday make LeBron and the Lakers nervous about getting out of the West? Stephen A. Max and Molly will discuss that and more. First Take follows us top of the hour here on ESPN. Meanwhile, as this NFL offseason rolls on, Russell Wilson remains at the epicenter of the rumor mill. Jeff Darlington, our insider, was on my radio show yesterday, and he put into perspective why a trade is still very much a possibility.
Like, have we seen the kumbaya come out of Seattle yet? I personally have not. I have not heard, whether privately in my conversations or publicly, felt any sense of conclusiveness that both sides are suddenly happy and they're ready to roll this thing forward in 2021. But if it deteriorates any more than it has to this point, to me, I just think the price comes down. I think that divorce, whether this offseason or next, becomes imminent.
A divorce is an interesting way of putting it. Again, we've got Tannenbaum, Graziano, and Mark Sanchez. And Mark, I know you were suggesting earlier that maybe this isn't the way Russell meant for it to come out. But at the end of the day, having been married a long time, I can tell you that if you should say to your spouse, I don't have any desire to get divorced here, but here's a list of 4 people I will marry in the event this thing goes sideways, you're already divorced. You just don't know it yet. So that's where they stand now with your old coach, Pete Carroll. So, Mike Tannenbaum, we have put together, again, I want everyone to remember where they saw this first. We have put together the trade that makes everybody happy. Tannenbaum, take us through it.
Yes, sir. So we're going to make everybody a little bit better here. Russell Wilson goes to Chicago. They get the quarterback of their dreams. Sam Darnold goes from the New York Jets to Seattle, where they may or may not have the quarterback of the future. The Jets draft Zach Wilson. They get a second-round pick from Chicago, and 2 first-round picks and Roquan Smith go from Chicago to Seattle. Now, if I'm Seattle, I have 2 ones I didn't have, a great fit from a scheme standpoint in Roquan Smith, and maybe my quarterback for the next 5 years in Sam Darnold. So all 3 teams are now in a better situation.
And so, Graziano, to be clear for anyone who's just joining us, the reason that this might work is that you have been repeatedly telling me Seattle will not entertain trading Russell Wilson unless they have what?
A quarterback. The biggest thing holding this up is Seattle doesn't know where it turns a quarterback. They don't have, you know, a developmental guy on the roster. They don't have a first-round pick. So there's really nothing they can do to address that problem right now. Once, if they were to acquire one or find a way to acquire one that they feel is a good answer, then I think the trade of Russell Wilson becomes a lot more likely. And I just want to say, I'm giving Tannenbaum the weekend to figure out a way to add Pittsburgh in and make this a four-way trade, because we were just talking earlier and that they need one too. So I think with the weekend, he should be able to pull this off.
Fair enough. That's the C block Monday in the 8 o'clock hour. But anyway, Sanchez, let me finish this with you, because you know Pete Carroll. You played for him in college. You know the way he wants to win. And Russell Wilson, the whole let Russ cook thing, that may be what Russell wants. But I know you don't think that's what his coach wants.
Yeah, I don't think that's Coach Carroll's makeup. I think they were most successful. I know they were most successful winning Super Bowls and almost winning a second Super Bowl when before all that let Russ cook talk came out, right? And they were beast mode. They were Legion of Boom. Those were the mantras and cliches coming out of Seattle. It wasn't, hey, the quarterback runs this ship and is, you know, the captain, leader, and everything we need. Let's let him run around and play street ball and hero ball every down. That's not a defensive coach's dream. Now, they've been very successful doing it, but have they been as sustainable as a very good run game, great special teams, and great defense? I'd argue that they haven't, because they haven't won the Super Bowls like they did when Russ was a little younger. You put somebody like Sam Darnold, who has something to prove, who's going to have maybe a little bit of training wheels at the beginning, and then you start to let him, you know, graduate as he gets a little more mature and assumes his true potential. This could be a blockbuster trade and something that could really work out for everybody included. But I appreciate your marital advice, Greeny. And looks like Mike Tannenbaum has some weekend homework, man. That's no fun.
That's the way we wrap up a week here. But Mark, let me finish it with you on that thought, because part and parcel of this working is Sam Darnold working there. You know him well. I know how close you are to him as USC guys. Can he do that? Would he be able to do what they would want him to do in Seattle?
I think it's the perfect situation, right? Because they won't overload him and they'll put weapons around him. They already got two great receivers in Lockett and Metcalf. He hasn't seen anybody like that since he's been in the league. So this would be a dream come true for Sam. And I really think for Coach Carroll, he can coach some of those turnovers out of him, because he's going to take a lot of that pressure off and remind him that he's got a great defense. He's got a great special teams. He doesn't have to do everything. Just drive the car 50 miles an hour and get me down the highway. You don't have to do it all.
It's a good point. And I mean, if you look at what Darnold has played with in his 3 years, I couldn't wait to see the look on his face when he got a load of DK Metcalf. Guys, what a fabulous day. Thank you for getting up with us. Thank you for getting up with us. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. First Take starts now.